Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. A very part black, part Asian vice president once said that a couple of days ago. We have no idea what it means, but she did say that. Welcome to Resident Skeptics. We have a fun one, an exciting one. We have good news, a little bit of bad news mixed in there, but mostly good news. I think the bad news for Kamala Harris, she still cannot do press, and she's still a pretty lousy politician, but we do get winning quotes like this.
It looks like she's picking up some tips from Biden.
Yeah, no, she's been hanging out with him too long. She's becoming more and more like him. Oddly enough, though, her, I believe her approval rating's in the 20s, like 20 percentile, like not 20%, like 20%-ish. Tell me if I'm right on that, Connor. Look it up. We know that Biden is at 33%, and this was after the Supreme Court ruling, so who knows what's going to happen. He can only go down from here. You find it, Connor?
Quinnipiac. That's who I was looking for. Oh, no, I don't want your ads. All right. Quinnipiac poll shows Biden with 33% approval rating. This was as of January 12th. Why don't we take a look at a few of these? The poll showed Biden's approval rating. This is from The Hill, by the way, reporting on this. The poll showed Biden's approval rating had dipped slightly from November when his approval rating was at 36%. It continued a troubling trend for Biden, whose approval rating has steadily declined in each Quinnipiac poll released over the last several months. And it follows a broader trend of underwater polling numbers for Biden as he grapples with a series of difficult issues to tackle, such as rising prices, a persistent coronavirus pandemic, and disagreements with his within his own party that have stalled progress on his Build Back Better agenda. 50%, let's see, the tough poll numbers are attributed largely to poor marks from independent voters. So 57% of whom said they disapproved of Biden's job performance compared to 25% who approved. Biden also saw his approval among Democrats dip from 87% in November to 75% in the latest poll. That's massive.
Yeah, it's pretty huge.
That's a huge drop for just a little over, what, 2 months?
Yeah, again, and this was before the Supreme Court ruling. So you said, what, January 12th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is before that. So Lord knows where it's going to go now. It can only... I was talking to my dad about this throughout the week, where I was like, all he has to do is just, like, do some different things. Like, he could, like, actually get people back to work, take away some unemployment incentives, get the economy back up again. He could get his numbers up. He could stop this mandate. He could stop trying to control everyone. He'd probably end up doing a lot better, but he can't. He can't back down. He has disagreements with his party. He's trying to make his super leftist base happy. And then Kamala Harris is just, you know, rattling off nonsense. She's clearly horrible at her job. You know, you and I, we try to remain fair, but I think it's very fair to say that this administration is a failure. And this is only year one. We're now entering into year two, which can only get better by possibly the Republicans taking over both the House and the Senate, right. Which if they did would be, honestly, if the administration keeps going this way, it will be pretty easy for the Republicans to take it back. Now, in most elections where you have one party controlling the House or one controlling the Senate, the other party tends to do better the next election, just because there's more to attack about what that party has done specifically.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-win type of scenario, because you can attack them for everything they do wrong, and then you're not in charge, so they've got nothing on you at that point. You're not nearly as responsible as the other party. So this goes back and forth.
Exactly. But in this case, the Democrats are doing a pretty bad job at this point. We have a couple that have kind of hung in there and do recognize the importance of the kind of democracy that we have, like Sinema and Manchin. They've kind of realized that their party has just gone just bat nuts crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This which leads us to something, you know, I like this quote by Kamala. It's time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. And that time being every day is freedom and liberty. Very confusing quote, but we're going to try to make it work as our segue. Because in case you live under a rock, I say that pretty often, but I feel like the stuff that we're talking about are things that are in the news pretty often.
Fairly mainstream at this point.
Pretty mainstream. But the Supreme Court did end up turning down Biden's vaccine mandate. This is pretty big. This was a 6-3 decision. I'm trying to remember which judges said no. Most of them were just the liberal ones. Sotomayor? Is that how you say her last name?
I haven't caught the names.
Well, her name is like a...
Just the numbers.
Yeah, something. Three of them said no. Six of them said that this was indeed unconstitutional. Now, here's the reason why I think this is actually pretty significant. I don't think people understand this. There has been this idea that you and I have been talking a lot about, that when you give the government power, they don't tend to give it back, right?
Correct.
This is just something that tyrants don't tend to do. Now, you might say, oh, Jordan, the Biden administration isn't tyrannical. I disagree. I strongly, strongly disagree. Because here's the thing, it doesn't just stop here at a mandate. It's like, oh, well, they're just trying to keep us safe and healthy. I promise that that's not the only reason. Because if you look at this mandate, and you and I talked about in the last episode, is that Omicron kind of changed everything. Omicron made realize it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. There's no such thing as a breakthrough case anymore. Can we please stop calling this a breakthrough case? It just means everyone is going to get this thing. The good news for it is that it doesn't go to the lungs. This is excellent news. This is great news. We would want people to get this, and we'd want to be able to build some level of herd immunity. So this idea of doing this vaccine mandate to save people from grave danger doesn't really make any sense, especially with a virus that now is only giving people a mild cold. And also one of the things that was really important that the Supreme Court brought out, they have released this decision. You can read it for yourself. It's 30 pages long, so I'm not gonna read it all to you. But basically, the kind of case that was trying to be made for people to put this forward, this vaccine mandate forward, is that it's a workplace hazard. Mm-hmm. Well, the Supreme Court rightly pointed out that this hazard is not workplace specific, that it is something that you can get in your home with other people. It is something that you could get potentially in school, hanging out with friends, the grocery store,
yep.
Social activities. So it's not something that OSHA
overreached. Outside their jurisdiction at that point.
It really is outside of their jurisdiction. And so that was something that this is something that they talked about. The thing with OSHA as well is that they did not go through Congress in any way, shape, or form. The Senate did end up voting on it and disapproved of it, but this didn't go through Congress. This is something that Joe Biden was using OSHA to push his own legislation mm-hmm. without going through the proper systems. This is unconstitutional. This is not what the founders had in mind. So here's what's important to break down, and I'll let you talk here in a second, Connor, as I break it down a little bit more.
Keep going.
But we have to remember something, and we have to go all the way back to Trump and Clinton running, right? If Clinton had run,
mm-hmm.
we would have had three more liberal justices, and this decision would have been easily going towards a mandate. Trump put on three conservative judges. Now, we can make fun of Kavanaugh a little bit because he decided to go weak and I believe he sided with the healthcare workers having a mandate, which also disagreeable.
Yeah, that what was that vote? 5-4?
I think so.
I think it was 5-4 to keep the healthcare.
Yeah.
Yes, 5-4. Chief Justices John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh siding with liberal justices Sonia Sotomayor, mm-hmm. Elena Kagan, and Stephen Breyer.
Yeah. So they did end up keeping that one there. But remember, if Hillary had become president, we would have had more liberal justices. And yes. Honestly, we would have seen, I believe we would have seen the United States crumbling before our eyes. Trump put on 3 conservative judges that kind of barely saved us from having something really bad happening. Because it doesn't end here. It mm-hmm. doesn't end with a vaccine mandate. That's what people don't understand. They kind of look ahead just a little bit and like, oh, well, it's just to keep me safe. It's to keep me comfortable, when it's all BS. It's all BS. Like, this is a total power grab. And again, this doesn't take like a ton of history lessons to see. Like, this takes a little bit of common sense. The history just backs it up. And so that's something that people really need to understand here, is that we are holding on by a thread, and you have a choice. The people have a choice. You can keep electing people that just want power. And they have bad intentions, they want power, they have jealousies, they're trying to get ahead. Or you can actually try to elect some people that might do a little bit better. That's not to say that they're without jealousies, without wanting power, without those things, but you can tell pretty quickly by somebody's policies and what mm-hmm. they talk about that can determine what they're for. So just remember, we were this close. And to a certain extent, we have Trump to thank. We do have Trump to thank a little bit for this.
Otherwise we would be looking at a full-scale mandate for all. This is the mandate that Biden announced back in the fall, August, September era, but they didn't submit anything to actually pass through the legal system until a couple months later. So this is where all the businesses jumped the gun, started doing it anyways. I happen to know that Boeing had required vaccinations by, I think it was December 2nd or 3rd, and they stopped implementing the policy before Christmas. So I know people that work there and who went and got the vaccine so that they could keep their jobs and keep working. And within 3 weeks, it was shut down and they're not doing it anymore. They'll only reinstate it if the government does. So it really was just a push, a scare tactic to get businesses to do it. And he's still doing it. Because yep. right after
that
this
was a speech he made.
Right after this was overturned, Biden's pleading with businesses to do it anyways, to go ahead and implement it into private policies, which they can do. But he's just finding that he's just clenching his fist with nothing in them at this point, and he doesn't have any ammo. So now he's just resorting to begging people to go around and do it anyways.
Yeah, and a lot of companies, I don't think they're going to do it. It's because they don't have anything to lean back on. They don't have any government to blame. Like, it's on them. Like, if they do this, it's on them. Mm-hmm. Like, and so we already see, I think General Mills, I think they pulled theirs as well. We're starting to see companies doing it, which is as they should. This is completely ridiculous. And it's insane. It's insane that we've allowed this to happen for a vaccine that I wouldn't even call a vaccine at this point. It's very new technology that still needs a lot of tweaking, clearly. There was actually an interview with Joe Rogan and Dr. Malone, one of the, I think, like original creators of the technology itself.
I believe he's the one that filed the patents for it.
Yep. So. Of the MR, for people who don't know, mRNA vaccine, which is the type of vaccine that Pfizer and Moderna are. He did an interview with Joe Rogan and, might I say, a very fair easy to understand interview. In fact, it was interesting to me that Joe Rogan would ask him questions about, you know, why do you think X, Y, and Z or the government or these companies are doing this? And he said, I'm not going to answer your question regarding intent. I'm not going to answer your question regarding intent, but here's what I will tell you about fact. And that says a lot to me about somebody, that they're willing, that Definitely. They have enough facts to say, I'm not going to judge their intent. I can't do that. But let's look at the facts and you draw your conclusion. And that's one of the first things that he talks about in the podcast. He's like, I'm going to give you the information, but I want to encourage you to make your own choice and to think for yourself. And that's what he really wants people to do. In this case, Biden is just trying to take away that right for you to decide for yourself whether or not you want to get this technology that may or may not help you with COVID-19.
Not just Biden either. Twitter shut down his account. YouTube took the video off. I don't think Rogan actually uploaded the video because his stuff is exclusive to Spotify, but somebody recorded it, posted it to YouTube. YouTube took it off. They could take it off for copyright reasons, but there's plenty of Joe Rogan clips on YouTube that don't go down. So this one has to do more with Dr. Malone. But he's getting kicked off of quite a few platforms at this point. So it's not just the government that's wanting to shut this stuff down. You have big tech wanting to do it. You have doctors writing in to have him banned off the, to have that episode removed off of Spotify. So guys, listen to it while you can. It's going to get a lot harder to find after that.
Yep, that was for sure. Like, definitely go find it, go listen to it. You don't have to agree with all of it if you don't want to. It's gonna be pretty hard not to, given that he actually knows what he's talking about, supposed to Rochelle Lindsky.
He is one of the creators of the mRNA technique.
Yeah, I was
and
gonna
he
say.
Has concerns specifically regarding children, I believe, receiving these vaccines.
Yes, he is against children getting it, and I think that is 100% fair. And a couple of things too, and I want to say this more on a personal note, but also I told you so. There were a lot of women who were very hesitant regarding what the vaccine would do to their menstrual cycles. We do have a study that's come out that has confirmed that the COVID vaccine can alter mm-hmm. your menstrual cycle. Dr. Malone also talks about how the mRNA vaccine moves to different parts of the body, specifically the ovaries. Again, please go listen to it. I can't explain it as well as he can, but basically the vaccine is going to place that it's not supposed to, according to Dr. Malone. And we have a study now confirming that it is messing with menstrual cycles. That doesn't mean that you don't get it, but there's a reason why I don't want to get the vaccine. I don't mind now saying I am not vaccinated. I don't want to get it because I already have a lot of, I already have some fertility issues. Why do I want to mess it up more? Again, my own personal decision, and no one's going to tell me what to do with that. It's about reproductive health, and it does matter. Now, of course, all the pro-choice people are like, why don't you feel that way about abortion? It's like, well, that's another human being that we're talking about.
Yes.
I'm trying to preserve my fertility so I can make my own life, you know, make mm-hmm. life. So the argument doesn't quite work the other way around. But Biden is trying to take away your choices. That's what tyrants do. They take away your choices. And this is a big win. This is a good win. We still would like to see the healthcare workers not have this mandate as well, given how ridiculous it is that these policies are allowing vaccinated medical workers who have COVID, instead of getting unvaccinated workers, they're sending in the vaccinated workers who have COVID to keep working.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Like, tell me where the tell me where the science is here. There's no science.
It's out the window at this point. I mean, it has been for quite a while now, and I hope people are listening and watching and kind of waking up to it. We started off with the vaccine stopping you. You couldn't get it again. You couldn't be infected again. It stopped you from going to the hospital. You know, if you were starting to get sick with it, and it stopped you from spreading it. Well, it turns out it doesn't stop you from spreading it. It certainly doesn't keep you from the hospital. And it doesn't stop you from getting it. So at this point, all they have left to go on is that it prevents hospitalization, but those numbers, I don't even know that it's possible for it to be accurate at this point. The amount of people that probably get COVID and don't go to the hospital is got to be insurmountable. They only know how many people have had COVID based on COVID positive tests, which, by the way, the beginning ones were not accurate. It couldn't tell the difference between the flu and COVID.
Yeah,
that went on for about a year before those tests were removed.
Yeah, that data, like, it's all garbage at this point. There is just no, there's no swimming your way through it and trying to figure out what's good and what's bad. It's all
no,
just
and
garbage.
it's all mixed in now, because you have, at least in America alone, you have three different vaccines. We have so many different variants at this point. We've had the alpha, then we had Delta and Omicron, and I think we've had a couple other smaller strains that didn't get quite as popular as those. But even if you just lump those all into coronavirus and vaccines, you don't even split up the vaccines. You just split it up between people who are unvaccinated, people who are partially vaccinated, and then we'll say, we can't, according to Dr. Fauci, you can't even say fully vaccinated at this point. We'll say the two shots, which were initially what deemed you fully vaccinated. Now some states like California are requiring boosters coming up in February, actually. So it's more like up to date on shots. So they're changing the terminology to keep the vaccines going. But you already have those four different variables that you're dealing with. And then you throw on top of that people that have contracted COVID or not. So you have unvaccinated, COVID, no COVID, partially vaccinated, COVID, no COVID. The initial required doses, had COVID before, had COVID after. And then you have people that are boosted and have had COVID or have had COVID afterwards. So the variables have just increased insurmountably. And now triple all of that because we have three different vaccines in the country. And some people are getting boosters and others aren't. And I mean, how do you keep any of that straight along with people that are asymptomatic? So they you cannot test them, from my understanding. You won't be able to. They're not symptomatic and you can't just keep wasting tests on them. Just how do they have accurate numbers to say? I mean, their numbers are all based on people that are COVID positive. So the number of COVID positive people versus people that have died from COVID. I can already tell you, I know way more people that likely had COVID and did not. And this is anecdotal evidence, but everybody else that I talk to knows a lot of people that are pretty sure they had COVID. They never went and got tested, though.
And why would they get tested? What's the point? Like, why?
Especially if the government's going to start making it difficult for COVID treatments. There's some doctors that have sounded off, I believe in Florida and some others, that the U.S. government is making it particularly difficult to get monoclonal antibodies distributed because they're trying to say that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Don't use it. Get vaccinated. So they just keep pushing this. And we've seen this since the very beginning when people were trying different concoctions of things before really robust studies came out on them. And some studies have come out and you get conflicting ones like on ivermectin and hydrochloroquine?
Hydrochloroquine.
Yeah. All of these different methods that have come out. And the one that floors me is the monoclonal antibodies, because that one is literally derived from somebody else's antibodies that has had COVID and gotten past it. And they regrow those cells and then you get a boost to your immunity. So the fact that they're saying it doesn't work and they're trying to push, they just keep trying to go with the vaccine. And it just feels like a broken vaccine at this point because it's not doing what they said it was going to. It doesn't even act like other vaccines at this point.
It doesn't. I mean, we mRNA never, is a new technology.
Yeah. And we never would have got rid of smallpox if the vaccine still allowed it to spread.
Right. I just think it needs a bit more perfecting. It needs a bit more doing. It needs a bit more fixing. But that, of course, that's not a narrative that politicians really want to go for. And I think that the idea of getting booster after booster, you've brought up kind of good point. It feels kind of like broken science. There's a lot of people that are saying that a booster is a bad idea. Dr. Malone said that it was a bad idea, and he explains why. But we also have European Union regulators. This is according to Bloomberg Law, but you can find this article other places. Said, quote, that they warned that frequent COVID-19 boosters could adversely affect the immune response and may not be feasible. Repeat booster doses every 4 months could eventually weaken the immune response and tire out people, according to the European Medicines Agency, and said countries should leave more time between booster programs and tie them to the onset of the cold season in each hemisphere, following the blueprint sent out by influenza vaccination strategies, the agency said, end quote. So, of course, this is kind of like a duh, like, really? No-brainer? Like, wow, maybe we should... Connor, I sound like the broken record. Get off your couch. Exercise. Eat well. Live a healthy lifestyle instead of sitting on your couch with your bag of Doritos waiting for your booster every 2 months.
Yeah, there's many Get more healthy. Things that can kill you than that.
There are so many more things that are going to kill you. I swear, like, I'm gonna blow it. Like, I'm tired of the government being like, if you just have enough boosters. Like, there's kind of these jokes about, you know, I think Ben Shapiro's made the joke. I think everyone's made the joke now of, like, you know, get five boosters, you know, get a free coffee, you know. Like, it's like, you can literally have a punch card for this. Like, you can't just keep pumping your body with this vaccine. Like, this is not good science. Like,
no, what vaccine do you know that you get even once, anything beyond the flu shot that you get once a year? Anything less than that? You get anything at 4 months, 6 months?
Only for my immunizations when I was low on specific shots that I needed. Did I have to wait 2 months, 3 months, 4 months to get like the Hep C or like Hep B? I don't remember which Hep. Forgive me. But with regards to those, but with the influenza or like the flu vaccine, you only get that once a year. And the reason why you get that is also because you want to make sure you're getting the right strand. It seemed like they had a good idea.
And it only covers
there.
About 2 to 3 strands. And there's more than that that are going around. I know one family that, the dad did not get the vaccine. The kid got the vaccine. The mom got the vaccine. the dad does get sick. Whatever he caught, the kid didn't catch. So they figured that was the one that the kid was immunized against. But then the mom got sick from a different one. It was just a whole mess. We're basically
talking about the flu vaccine.
Yeah, just the flu vaccine. Yeah, okay. It was like, you know, you had three family members living in close quarters, and one of them got sick and two of them are vaccinated, and one of them gets sick because he wasn't vaccinated. But then the other two get sick despite being vaccinated. So they got a totally different strain. Or they could have got the same strain. It just didn't matter because one of them, they didn't protect against enough. So the flu vaccine comes yearly because there's too many strains of flu for them to prevent against. And most likely you're going to get sick. But this has just kind of become unheard of. And they've changed definitions on the vaccine. Fauci himself said it in the last 2 weeks that you can't say fully vaccinated, just up to date.
Right, and they keep changing the definition of the vaccine, where Bill Gates was like, yes, this will stop transmission, and then he's like, oh, this will just stop you from, you know, going to the hospital or having more severe illness. Like, one, how do they know that? But, and then Fauci has done the same thing, where it's like, yes, you know, there's no way you can get the virus if you had the vaccine. It's like, well, now it's just going to help a little bit. It's like, oh, well, you should just get vaccinated. Like, there's literally, like, a montage of Fauci completely changing his language on the vaccine. I'm sure you can find that on YouTube or something, but they keep changing.
And the best part is they keep changing it, but they keep blaming it on the unvaccinated. So it's like, great, the people who aren't taking the treatment, the medicine, it's their fault that the treatment and medicine isn't working.
Right. And you've actually...
Imagine that.
You've actually brought up a really interesting topic that I think you and I should talk about. One thing that I think the most frightening thing about that interview with Dr. Malone, I'm telling you, you need to go listen to it. It's on Spotify, please go listen. It'll be worth it. It's 3 hours long. But I listened to it for part of a work day, and then I was working out and doing my legs. I was like, I don't know which is more painful, me doing my leg workout or this. But he talks about something that a lot of other people have started talking about, which is like mass psychosis. Mass brainwashing. And they talk about this idea when you're just talking about, you know, blaming the unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Blaming the unvaccinated is an othering. And to kind of paraphrase a little bit of mass psychosis, essentially it's kind of creating one leader that they look up to. You keep society segmented from each other, mm-hmm. right? Which is what happened during the lockdowns. They kept them segmented. They had one, I call him like a dear leader, I think of North Korea, where they can say nothing wrong. You have a lot of free-flowing anxiety, a lot of free-flowing fear, and basically you get them kind of focused on one variable. And that one variable in this case is COVID-19, that they're so scared of this one variable and they only look up to one source, which, you know, you think of typically like Fauci or the CDC, that any sort of, they're so brainwashed that any idea of common sense or data is completely irrelevant because they are so dialed in to the one person that can save you, which is Fauci or CDC or the science. Fauci has combined these terms so that he is the science. if it doesn't get more arrogant than that, guy just he freaks me out. I hate that guy. But this idea of othering and blaming other people, that's definitely a part of it, is if you're vaccinated, well, whose fault is it for the spread? It's the unvaccinated. It's the other. And some of this could work if what Fauci and the CDC are saying is true. Nothing that they've said so far has really held a ton of water. And there is a good amount of the population that is really taken in by Fauci, I work at a university. Okay, we all know that universities tend to be a bit more liberal. I hear phrases that freak me out. I have heard before, it's like, well, if Fauci says to do it, then we do it. I swear, I've heard that before. And I'm like,
I've heard similar.
It's the creepiest thing to hear. And I'm my gosh.
Yeah, has it happened with where they're like, if the CDC says to do it, then we're going to do it. But then the WHO is saying something different.
Yeah, and
that's fun. I'm like, wait.
Who are you going to listen to?
Which one do you want to go with? But the thing that scares me is that there's not a lot of thinking for themselves. And
that's the important part about the fear and anxiety. Like the anxiety and fear, like that's why they have to fearmonger you so much. That's why, because fear makes us give up things that we wouldn't give up otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I thought to myself, Connor, and I'd kind of want your input on this, is this all happened because of COVID, or we saw it because of COVID. Was it already there in the first place?
I think it was there. It was festering. It just needed something to infect. It needed something to latch on to. But I think we've been pushing for a while. I think in this country, and I can't speak to others, but I mean, their lockdowns and authoritarian rule and the type of things that are going on are beyond what America has to deal with right now. We're lagging behind what they are, and hopefully we can keep fighting to get out of it. Hopefully our brothers and sisters in Australia and over in the UK, France, all of them that are having 1,000 people protest against the vaccine mandates and against having government officials show up at their house and ask them, did you post this being critical of the government? This was Australia. It sounds like something out of China or North Korea or something, or Russia. But this is Australia, where a gentleman answered the door and has 2 government officials with his social media post. I think it was Facebook or Twitter, with something that he had reposted, which was criticizing the government, essentially saying that it didn't care about the people. For what it was doing, like what they're doing over there in Australia, it's not to keep you safe. And they came in there asking him, did you post this? And he basically pleaded the fifth, or whatever Australia's version is of it. And it was just like, I don't know if that's mine, but they have police coming to the door. I mean, that's been a thing in France for the last couple of years, ever since, when was that? Probably 2017, 2018. It was during Trump's presidency, and Twitter was all on its own fiasco. And there were people in France getting arrested from social media posts. And I don't understand how we get there. But TikTok's a pretty good indication of brain dead. I don't have a better word to describe it with.
Yeah, you know I hate TikTok with mm-hmm. a passion that maybe no one else has. Mm. I think TikTok is absolute garbage. There are much more crude terms for the word garbage, but it is garbage. It is killing people's brain cells. It is making people famous who should never be famous. It is giving out a lot of ideas based on nothing. All the worst trends that have happened have come from TikTok. Stealing stall doors off of bathrooms. Trying to diagnose borderline personality disorder in a 30-second clip. I kid you not. Trying to give broken teenagers and advice on whether or not they have borderline personality disorder, an incredibly rare type of mental disorder. The things that are coming out of here, and you know, Ben Shapiro, he does a great series of reacting to woke TikToks. They are frightening, absolutely frightening. It's where your brain goes to die. Like, imagine, you know, taking your brain out of your skull and giving it to a tiger to eat for lunch. You know, that's what TikTok is. TikTok makes me sad. It makes me angry. It makes me want to lose faith in humanity.
Yes.
I hate TikTok, Connor. I have encouraged all my students. I'm like, dude, get off TikTok. What are you doing? You could do so much more with your life, and you could read more, you could learn more, you can have better conversations. Instead, you're getting advice or watching weird videos from random teenagers, or also people in their 20s and 30s who don't have jobs.
Yep, it is a garbage chute for talentless shit. I won't hold back on my words quite as much as you do, but
because I'm a kind soul that tries to keep my anger in.
It's garbage, especially the trends. And so there is somebody that I think that does hate TikTok trends more than you. Joey B Tunes has a YouTube channel.
Joey B Tunes,
and
that sounds like a TikTok name. I'm not gonna lie.
His entire YouTube channel is long form podcasts like this, but also pulling from the, and I don't even know if it's the dredges of TikTok, to be honest, because he gets scared sometimes with what he finds. But pulling this stuff off, just anything from the trends to the really, really just, it's nothing. So the guy walks up to the camera in a Speedo, and it's like, great, that's the end of the TikTok. That's all he did. And it gets thousands of likes, if not millions. You get Charli D'Amelio out there, does a back bend in a mirror, great. And then she straightens back up, and it's like, okay, millions of views. You get somebody playing some of the most difficult guitar riffs or a piano solo or some sort of artist, something that's actually creative and individual to the person.
Yeah.
Couple hundred likes.
Yeah. Talent is 40 ignored. Followers.
This is kind of what I've watched a bunch of his videos this week, and for the first time went through one of his longer form podcasts, and I started to wonder, has becoming I guess it's not really becoming famous, but going viral. I think about some of the stuff that used to go viral, some of the initial things, and a lot of them were either really dumb or really interesting. And at this point, most of the things that go viral are mostly dumb. But in order to get so much recognition on a platform like TikTok, and you can include any platform at this point, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, in order to get that, you tend to just be able to build off of the way you look. And doing others' trends. So it's like trendy things go and everybody does them. But it feels like the bar for talent has been moved so low so that everybody can take part in it and feel good about themselves. There's not a lot of individuality. And I think TikTok showcases that.
Well, think about it. If you take a bunch of people who don't have talent, all right, they can't create something original. They can't. No. Like, or it's much more difficult for them to create something original. So what do? You tag onto a trend because the trend's already been created for you. It's already there. And I think that's...
People already like the trend.
And I remember when I was growing up, things would go like super viral or super famous. I'll never forget Jackie Ivanchi? Or Ivanka? Yeah, Jackie Ivanka. This like 8-year-old opera singer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember things going viral of people who were extraordinarily talented people.
Yes.
That made you go, whoa, like, that's incredible. This is inspiring. Or things like of that nature. And of course, what you're saying is absolutely right. Like, it just feels like talentless people can get famous.
I think what bothers me about it is that the people that are really not doing anything talent worthy. And I speak of this as not being a particularly creative person on my own. So I know that I can't do much more than follow the trends. I'd have a very hard time coming up with something unique.
What? But you're so fashionable, Connor.
No, t-shirts.
I think you're actually wearing the one I got you like 5 years ago.
You might have.
Yeah.
Well, did you get me this one?
Well, so yes, but like I wasn't sure what to get you, so Preston was like, here, like, get him. He'll like this one.
And then I married Preston.
Yes, and then I was like, here you go, Connor, I got it for you, but someone else helped me. It was Preston.
Oh, that's great. Do you remember the People Are Awesome YouTube channel?
Vaguely.
It's a lot less awesome now, but I remember... I almost want to say it was maybe 2010, 2011, but they dropped one of their first videos that I knew that got a lot of recognition. And it's just people doing amazing things. You're talking skateboarders launching themselves off of ramps and, you know, getting 3 or 4 flips in.
Insane.
Same thing. Yeah. Bikers, incredible. Mountain bikers riding off of mountains, snowboarders doing the same thing or doing the, like, the para skiing. Like, they had all these different amazing things. It's like, this is what I dream about, being able to just do one of those things would be really cool. And it doesn't even have to be as cool as what they're doing, but just something similar, much smaller mountain and not as much risk factor, but it's like just to get to something at that point. And now it's just, it's stupid dances and faces and
a lot of weird, plastic surgery,
weird twerking in grocery stores or taking pictures. Taking pictures on the Holocaust, the Holocaust graves, or at your father's military funeral, having a photo shoot in front of his casket, or doing a dumb dance in front of your child that's struggling to survive in the NICU. All of that stuff is out there now.
And I think
the internet's to blame.
I think the reason why it's so appealing to a lot of younger people, especially, is that it's something that can get them famous with minimal effort.
Yes.
And trying. Like, a lot of some of the TikTok stars that have become famous, I was even showing you. I just, like, I told you, I was like, okay, Connor, I was like, close your eyes. And I went into YouTube and looked up this YouTube video by a TikToker and made him watch it. And the dancing was just horrible.
I already hate music videos, so this did not help that.
But the dancing was weird. We did agree, though, that the cinematography was actually
Props to the cinematographers, because they had a lot of work to do to make the star look really good. But their lighting, their camera, everything was good.
Yeah, but their background dancers, you know, very good. You could tell. I watched them on their own.
Everything was good except for the main person
where everything was focused on.
Couldn't dance, couldn't sing.
Lyrics were completely self-absorbed. Trash. And they didn't actually make any sense.
Yeah.
And so you have this kind of, you know, talent out there, and you're like, man, how did this person get famous? But it's for young people who don't have a terribly great work ethic. Because have you ever heard, like, there was like a poll where, like, asked, you know, Gen Z what they wanted to be when they grew up,
and influencer.
Most of them said influencer, YouTuber.
Yep.
Right. A lot of people want to do that. They're chasing that fame. So you're chasing that pride, that worship, while putting in not a ton of effort. Now, that's not to say that people who don't do YouTube, there are some people who do a very, very good job at it, and it's a whole production.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, if you're hosting, like, a show, I think that is, like, the
that's
same
phenomenal.
Level.
Phenomenal. You're fighting against, you know, just big corporate TV channels, news. It's, I mean, anything out there, it doesn't matter what topic you pick, most likely it is covered by a much bigger, broader organization with very deep pockets that you can't quite compete with. And so that, I mean, that's what YouTube was all about in the beginning. It was for just everyday people to get on and to create something that could compete with that type of stuff.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And you still have people doing that. So props to them. Like,
yeah,
seriously.
They are still out there. Yeah. YouTube is still probably the biggest reservoir of just good information that's on film at this point. There's other services that are coming up and stuff. But actually, this idea of not working for it, it came up in the conversation with me and my brother last week. He was talking, if anybody's familiar with the Paul brothers, you have the older brother, Logan Paul and Jake Paul. And recently, in recent times, they've been doing a lot of, like, celebrity fights in boxing. They seem to take in a love to it. I think they both grew up doing wrestling and stuff, but they've had some very controversial moments. Logan seems to have chilled out quite a bit since his humbling from Japan, where he really screwed up big time over there. And I believe he's actually banned from the country. He can't go back. But he's chilled out since then. His brother, Jake, on the other hand, is just, he's off the walls. He's just still making as much racket as he possibly can. Even causing a ruckus at his brother Logan's fight against, I would blank on his name right now. Oh, I hate myself for this. Nope, I need to get that name back. Otherwise, I'm just going to railroad myself.
It's okay,
Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather. So Logan was going to fight Mayweather, which was just huge. Mayweather's one of the best boxing fighters that's ever been. I believe he's like 55 or 58 and 0. He's never lost a fight to my knowledge. And so Floyd does it. He does the fight only for money. Same thing for Logan. Like, Logan's an amateur boxer and stuff, but Jake keeps going around wanting to fight people, and he has KO'd one or two fighters. But the fighters that he's going against are, like, basketball players, old boxers. Like there's a significant difference between a young 20-something year old guy, and even if these other guys are or were pro athletes, it's just that they're older than him. They're not as spry. But my brother was just like, man, he's really going after it. Like, he's calling out Dana White, who's in charge of different fighting sport divisions.
Yep.
He's like, he's calling him out and telling him to, you know, pay the fighters half of whatever they make, you know, and all this stuff. And he's really taking it to him, and he wants to fight the best of the best. And my brother was saying how he admired it, and I was like, I don't. And my brother didn't understand why. And I was like, look, he didn't work his way from the bottom to the top. Like, he's not a Conor McGregor story. Conor McGregor was, Conor McGregor was, I believe, living in his mom's basement. He was just, he was out of it. You know, life had him beat down. He was living in his mom's basement, and he was on government welfare, essentially. And, you know, people have those hard times, but then he got into boxing and he became one of the best. But he had to work his way up from the bottom. And Jake has taken this really big roundabout tour to get to the top and to start calling these $1 million fights. And I was like, I can't respect it. He hasn't put in the time or the work. He's got a few years behind him in boxing at best. He's had 3, maybe 4 or 5 fights, at this point. And it's like, you go through those, you're fighting X fighters, you're fighting X, you know, X sports guys, and you want to just come in and fight some of the best people. And I was like, dude, you have not earned that title yet to be up there. And even if he did get in it and win, there's something about that hero's journey for somebody. It's just, it's not there. It doesn't exist for him.
Because I don't know much about him from what you describe. He sounds kind of entitled. Entitled,
arrogant, pompous, yeah, all
right. And no one really truly admires that. Like, no one looks at him and goes, yeah, you know, that's a guy with character, you know. That's someone that I want to see, you know. No, of course, like, I'm not into fighting. But, you know, given what you're telling me, like, he just wouldn't be someone that I would really look up to. There's a lot of, and that's what really, this is what worries me too, is that who you look up to tends to be who you, what you aspire to be. And a lot of these young people are aspiring to be people that are, I'm sorry to say this, they are not worthy of being role models. These TikTokers are not worthy of being your role models. There are far better people who are doing far better things. I think about the Daily Wire, who decided they were going to be the first ones to stand up against this. Like, that takes some guts.
It did.
It takes a lot of balls, and it takes a lot of work to do that. Now, granted, you know, they worked hard to be able to do that. That was years of them putting out podcasts, of making strategy to get to build the Daily Wire to where it is. Now, not all of us are going to be able to do that, obviously. But you aspired, like, hey, I want to be brave enough to stand up. In smaller circumstances than that, there are other role models I think that are great to look up to. I think Jordan Peterson, I think that, you know, again, mm-hmm. you can look up to these people, don't make them your idols, but look and they're like, yeah, you know, this person's gone through a lot. They're saying a lot of things that are making sense that I should consider. That doesn't mean you agree with everything that they say. That's right. Where critical thinking comes in. You're like, man, you know, I really aspire to be like this. I think about my dad, who started from nothing, dirt poor, blind as a bat in rural Texas with an abusive alcoholic father, who has now made it. Like, he has his 3 degrees, he takes care of his family, and he's a good man. Like, that is something worth aspiring to.
Definitely.
And I know a lot of us, you know, some of us don't have parents to aspire to. I get that. It's sad, but I get it. There are still people out there in the world that you can look at and go, yeah, I want to be that, you know, mm-hmm. not, I don't know, I don't really see, like, you know, Katy Perry or someone I'd really want to, like, be looking up to. Like, there are people who are great thinkers, who have great hearts, that want to help, but they don't make it into the same realm of popularity as some do, and they deserve a bit more recognition, because I think a lot of people hate on Jordan Peterson, but man, he has some great, he's telling men to work hard and have a family. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, I don't understand. Like, I think that's a great message. Like, he's not a Christian, but that still goes in with the biblical principles of mm-hmm. a man. So it's like, yeah, I agree with this. This sounds awesome. Please spread this message. This is great. And also he says some things for women too, which is also nice. But
yep.
So overall, I'm concerned about who these people are looking up to. And then they're also, if you want to look at government figures that Gen Z might be looking up to, fine. Look at Ilhan Omar. Oof, that's not a good role model for you. AOC, very not bright. Like, again, I'm not saying this because she's liberal or leftist. There are plenty of smart liberals and leftists out there. I promise. Yes. Like, there are some smart ones. AOC is not...
Tulsi Gabbard, even Andrew Yang. I disagree with him on a lot of things, but...
Yeah, he's articulate.
The dude is smart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely articulate. I've listened to some of his stuff. Definitely a smart guy. Tulsi Gabbard, also incredibly well-spoken, served our country well, and we thank her for that. But there's, again, if you're on the left still, there are plenty of people on the left, I think, for now, that you can still look at and say, oh, that's a pretty smart person. AOC is just not one of them. She's just not. And I'm sure there's I think on the Republican side, I don't like, what's her name,
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with her being suspended off social media platforms, but I just think that she kind of goes a little bit crazy, and I'm just like, just stop.
Yeah, I think you brought up an important point earlier, and I kind of want to hound on it, is that if you find yourself agreeing with everything that somebody says, and this includes your spouse and your parents, you are not actually considering what they're saying. You really need to think about it, because I guarantee you that there is something that you will not agree with on this person, with this person. And I think that was something that I was subject to early on when I was younger, is it's like, this is my pastor, this is my teacher, these are my parents, you know, this is my girlfriend. It's like, whatever they say, I just agree with it. I was just like, oh yeah, that's right. And I wouldn't give it a second thought.
Hmm.
And the places that can lead you, well, you're led a lot like sheep at that point. You just kind of go and do what you want, and or not what you want, what they want you to. And I cannot stress enough how dangerous it is to just sit there and listen to somebody. I don't care if they're a pastor, a rabbi, or a priest, your president, a teacher, your parents, your siblings, your friends, your spouse. It does not matter. You really do need to find somewhere where you disagree with somebody, or that you could at least push back on what they're saying.
Right. And have kind of that civil, you know, disagreement. But you know, you're absolutely right. You can't, it's not possible to like 100% agree with anyone on anything.
Yeah. Somewhere you disagree is an indication that you are actively thinking about what they're saying. You're processing it.
Yeah.
And not just taking it in.
And listen, if you allow yourself to be moved on a topic, it's because you thought it through and because you genuinely considered their arguments. But that back and forth verbal struggle is a good thing. You might end up changing your mind. You might not end up changing your mind. And that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have plenty of, like, you and I think we agree on quite a bit. But at the same time, there's kind of things that we don't quite fully agree on to the same extent, I would say. I mean, that's just to say, like, both Connor and I are conservatives. We're conservative, but we still have our own views. You can't just lump everyone into the same thing. We try our best on here to make a distinction between liberals and leftists, with the understanding that there are some individual beliefs in there, but we can't specifically point out every single belief. So we do the best that we can. We understand that people have their own beliefs.
Yep.
But
yeah, don't be like the I think it's a COVID-19 campaign to get the vaccine. We saw it earlier. I did pull it up. It is an ABC News video. Actually, I think we'll post it to our socials. Somebody outlined a needle with food and then released sheep to go get the food, so that when they were done, they had a drone from above videoing these sheep organize themselves into the shape of a needle, a syringe.
Yeah, here's the thing, like, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Like, they're not even trying to hide it, that they're trying to lead you around. Like, it's not that hard to wake
just
up. That,
they're just too dumb to hide it. And that's not the first one I want to assume, but it's like, it is such an obvious connection. Like, you're talking about sheep. Like, without shepherds, they would probably all be dead. They would have been dead a long time ago. They're not bright animals. They just kind of do what they do, walk off a cliff or into a mud hole or out into the road or grab some food and shape yourself into the shape of a needle. I don't. If somebody looks at that and they think, oh, this is good, they're not thinking about it. They're not thinking about what it could even be implying. And even if it's by accident, the irony is so perfect.
I know. It's truly interesting and just so... It's like the leftists are using a foghorn at this point. Like, it's so obvious. But I think... Here's one thing I would say. You know, the Bible talks about people being sheep, all right? We are all little sheepies, all right? You and I are stupid. Like, we just are. Like, we're just dumb because we're sheep. But here's the difference, though. It's not because we're so smart. It's because that we have someone that leads us. That we, like, I would say that the Bible is my authority. Christ is my authority. Mm-hmm. He's my authority, and he's the one that leads. And that's how I can distinguish better what's right and what's wrong. That's how I can have some of that discernment is kind of plugging into that. But if you don't have a foundation, kind of what you were talking about when you were younger, when, you know, your girlfriend would say this, or your parents would say this, or your family would say this, be like, oh yeah, I agree with that. It's because you didn't really have that firm of a foundation in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to have some type of foundation, you're not going to be as sheepy. You know, you're not going to be as like, oh, well, there's food. Okay, I'm just going to go over there, you know. So we all are, I think the how we started getting somewhere is realizing that we don't know everything and we're not that smart. But we do have someone that does know, and that person is Christ. It is Jesus. But we also do have, he did give us some intelligence to be able to, and discernment to be able to figure out wisdom, lean into those things. And even people that I would say don't follow Christ, I might be defeating my own point here. Even with people who don't follow Christ, who have used the logic that God's given them to be like, oh, I don't think that this is right. I think it's truly correct. And this is unthinkable to me. That people don't think like that. I'm like, how do you not think? I think all the time. I think so much that my brain just starts to kind of explode. Like I have once a year where I can't think of anything because my brain has just gone into overdrive for an entire year. And I'll just like sit there like staring at the ceiling. It is the strangest thing. So I can't imagine not thinking, but there are people that apparently they don't think and they're just,
hey, if TikTok is any indication of it, there's a lot of people that can get through life without thinking.
I don't know
being brain dead.
I don't know how well they are.
Well, I mean, for instance, there's a girl who made a woman who made $45,000 selling her farts in the jar. I did not think I'd bring this up on this podcast, but just to clue you into something she said, what she does, she's just like, well, I spend the day, you know, eating all these protein and fiber so that I can make my products. And I'm really smart. I read books. It's just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, she was able to market that and she made $45,000. So I don't know who's dumber, her or the people that gave her money.
That's honestly one of the first thoughts I had when we talked about that. I'm like, which one of us is stupider? Like we deserve, that's why I said like humanity deserves to die at this point. Like, I don't know. Like everyone's just kind of all losing their mind, but they're not. Here's the thing. Let me be fair. They're not all losing their mind. It's that the majority of, I feel like there is a minority. Not minority. Let me put it like this. There's like 1/3 of people that are just the loudest people on the planet.
Yes.
And they're the ones that take up. I believe
it's smaller than 1/3, by the way.
It could. That would be great. But they take up all the air. And it's just time for sane people to just say in a louder voice, no, this is stupid. This doesn't make sense. Men are not women. Women are not men. You can't force people to put things in their body that they don't want to. Not in America. Just some very, very simple common sense that if we can start bringing that back into the atmosphere, we might end up a little better off. I don't think that'll solve all of our problems. America as a nation has fallen away from God, and that's going to be a huge issue. And I do think America will collapse eventually. I hope not in my lifetime, but I do think that it will. Because it probably will. No, I just took a dark turn. Well, I was like, we have hope, but we don't have hope.
Yeah, it depends on what type of hope you're talking about there. But I think you're hitting on an important issue where, you know, for you and me, we're grounded on Christ and his teaching and what we have in Scripture. And obviously, that's the one that I would propose people look into and follow and see what it's really about, and not to just go along with the tropes that have been around for decades at this point. But even if that wasn't what you had, just having, and this is where religion in general, I think, is a step above, or has, you know, an extra tool on its belt than people that just don't. They just don't believe in God. They don't want to believe that he exists, or they believe he exists, but they're not messing with it. They don't want to touch it. Is that something that religion does for those people that don't have it, is that religion gives you a set of ideas to hold on to, something to lock into,
yes,
to plant your feet firmly on. And those vary, you know, from religion to religion. But I think most people can agree that, you know, at least with something like Christianity and Buddhism and parts of Hinduism, but not all of it, but there's different religions that have very common traits. And then some of those common traits run through our laws. Well, people that are godless or don't have a religion, what do they stand on at that point? They stand on the laws, and those laws change very quickly. The beliefs in Christianity and other religions usually hold really fast. They've been around for thousands of years at this point. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and as Christians, we believe that God's law is the foundation. It is what human beings actually have written on their hearts, as Romans says.
Mm-hmm.
So even any religion that we have, as believers, as Christians, we believe that it is still a slight stem of Christianity, because they're building, yes, it on that foundation, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, and then laws work the best when they do work off of those principles that are closest to the way that the Bible describes that people should function together. And that is something that has me confused or pondering, is how people that don't have something like that to lock onto, what do they have to grasp? There isn't anything solid. Science doesn't help you in the moral realm. It doesn't exist.
Well, what they grasp is relative self.
Is dangerous.
It's incredibly dangerous, and it manifests itself differently. I've had a couple conversations with people about New Ageism, that New Ageism is dressed up atheism, right? It's this belief that there is no God but you.
That sounds like Scientology.
Yeah. But I mean, it's something that, you know, human beings all struggle with, is wanting to be their own God. We struggle with it. But with New Ageism, it is kind of this idea that I can have spirituality and I can control that with no God involved. And so when they worship the relative self, and that's why I think the left is so appealing, because the left appeals to relativism, and it almost becomes its own religion with its own set of rules that says anything can be whatever you want it to be. And so they try to put a firm foundation on these relative principles. And well, that's the issue. It's their relative principles. They continually keep changing. The left keeps contradicting itself. They don't have anything to stand on, and they're always confused, but they always think that they're still standing on something because their self, quote unquote, is still intact, and they allow it to continue changing. They care about how things make them feel, not opposed to the hard things and the hard work that you have to do to actually feel good about yourself, like discipline. Discipline hurts in the moment, but you feel good afterwards. When we go to work out, working out kind of sucks sometimes, and it's not fun in the process, but you know that it's good for you, and it builds discipline, and it's good for your body. You do it, and you feel a lot better because of those traits that you had to push yourself through.
Mm-hmm.
We are creating a society where they say you don't have to push through anything. You just have to accept yourself where you are. Not only do you get to accept yourself where you are, but you can indulge in the things that are bad for you as long as it makes you feel okay, because there are no rules. There's nothing. And so I think that they have slowly gotten themselves into this groove in this postmodern world of I can be whatever I want, relativism exists, and I'm going to try to put a firm foundation in that, which is pretty much impossible. You can't create your own reality. That's why we can't, trans women are not real women, even if they want that to be the reality, the rest of the world says, no, there's a reality that we have to adhere to. And they're simply being told that they can make their own, and it's not possible.
Well, even if the world didn't tell them that it's not possible, or that the world brought up, whatever the world might interpret as reality, outside of the world's interpretation, reality exists on its own. It does not need our interpretation.
Correct.
And it is beyond our intervention. And that is where moral relativism becomes so dangerous to me, because things change so quickly. And you can use that to justify so many dark things, because it's all about what is relative. And it's this belief that your ideals, like you were saying, you know, basically that you are God, you are in charge of, you know, what is relevant in your life and what is morally substantial, something that you want to adhere to. And maybe you adhere to it today, but not next week. Religion, Christianity specifically, but even just other religions in general, tend to force you to take on ideals from something or someone greater than yourself, something that is beyond human comprehension. And the idea that you leave people with their own devices to decide that what is moral for them as an individual and not as a society, a culture, or a people, just for them, the conflicts are never ending from that. The possibilities for people to get away with things with a clear conscience are also never ending.
This is true. This is 100% correct, because if you allow everything to be relative, and it's people who will, like, you know, argue for relativism, I'm like, great, what about the guy that is attracted to a child? Are you going to tell them that they can't? It's like, oh no, that's different. You know, that's where you draw the line. I'm like, oh, you get to draw that line? So you are saying that things aren't relative if you're drawing that line. Like, they defeat themselves pretty quickly, or say, yeah, that guy shouldn't have knifed that dude. It's like, really? What if that's not relative to, like, that everything's relative? Right and wrong is relative. So you have to, if you're going to embrace that principle, you have to take it all the way. Like, you can't stop. That's why we've seen with sexuality, we've watched things kind of change, where now it's, you know, it's been homosexuality, transgenderism, and we are now watching the rise of, now they're calling minor attracted people. Are you kidding me? That's called pedophilia. But see, that's the idea with relativism, is that you can't stop at one point. You have to keep going in order for that principle to remain, and it only leads to darkness. And darkness implies that there is some level of light. Therefore, there is a right or wrong. There are some things that are gray in between, but there are things in our heart that was like, whoa, that's wrong. Being attracted to a child, raping a child, that's wrong. Like, these principles go far deeper. Even if you're not, I'm not ever going to, actually, I was going to say something that wasn't going to make sense. I'm going to dial back a second. Got to make sure I say the right thing. But we have to understand that even these principles in a less, what's the word I'm looking for, impactful way, No, that's not it. That's it. Hang on. I'm going to pedal back. There's the verbal pedal.
A little animation of you, like, backpedaling.
Yeah. You might think that that relative truth doesn't hurt anyone, but the principle as a whole ends up hurting an entire society, where that idea of relativism goes far deeper than we would care to believe. And when we get upset about why a guy wearing a skirt, a boy wearing a skirt in a Loudoun County school bathroom can just rape a girl and get away, we're like, whoa, how did that happen? It's like, well, because you had policies that you believed that transgender people can go and do these kind of things, can be in the same bathrooms, and let them live out their relative truth, when those people are not of the opposite sex as they might believe, even if they wear a skirt or get rid of genitalia or have hormones or what have you. These ideas have far-reaching consequences.
Mm-hmm. This is again another idea where the left's ideas would work out if people were inherently good. If they were inherently good, you could probably have moral relativism, because by definition, or by the natural law of things, if people were morally good, then their morals would all be good. But we're not, and it's a flawed way of thinking. And it gets scarier when you bring those people into a position of power like government. And having them up there, they could justify anything. If their moral outlook on life is to do the best that they can for their family and themselves by any means necessary, screwing over an entire city, state, populace, country, doesn't matter. Whatever backhanded deals that they can get to do a little favor here and a little favor there, all of that stuff is permissible in their world. And it doesn't matter if it's not permissible in your world, because it's not relevant to you. It's relevant to them.
Yeah.
And that idea of moral relativism floors me. But again, it's this common thread that I keep seeing where the left's ideas would work if people were inherently good. And from people that I've talked to that have a mindset of that, is that they do tend to assume the best of people and that people are inherently good. And I don't see where they get off on that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we've talked about the idea of tribalism and how, you know, if you believe one thing, you can't possibly be good. You can't possibly have good intentions. I think that there are people... I do think that man is inherently evil. I think that we are inherently inclined towards bad things. I do think that we try, though. I think that there are good intentions that we try to have, and good things that we do.
Right, that's stuff you have to work at, though. It doesn't come naturally.
You do have to work at it. You do. You absolutely have to. You have to work at it. And so, people. Again, I've said this a million times. I think people on the ground, you know, civilians. I think that these people that are either on the left or on the liberal side, I think that some of them really do have good intentions and really think that these ideas are really going to make a difference, and they care about people who are homeless, and they really think that these policies are going to work. And so for that, like, I have a deep respect for that, and I'm willing to have a cordial, respectful conversation. I think that there are people on the left who are also just hateful, that just hate anyone who disagrees with them, and I just want to say for the record, I don't hate all leftists. I obviously don't like Fauci very much. I even think I said I hate Fauci. He's done a lot of bad things, but I'm willing to, I still will love them and still, you know, care about them. I'm just not going to be willing to take all their arguments incredibly seriously if they're just spewing, you know, hate. And, you know, we have to define what spewing hate is now. If spewing hate is just spewing the facts, then, I mean, yeah, I guess they should go ahead and keep going. But most of them, it's, I've seen the videos. I've been to the abortion clinics, where we have crazy people yelling at us while we pray, which, you know, it's kind of a little bit unwarranted. You're like, I thought you cared so much about these women. I don't understand why you're screaming and saying a lot of very crude language in front of small children. So that's a thing. But I'll move us. One thing I do want to say before I kind of get done with this segment, I think we're looking like we're going to get ready to close up here.
Yeah, we're getting there. I've got one article to knock us out.
Perfect. But what I will say here, in regards to, speaking of leftists, speaking of liberals, Biden is doing a horrible job. We just talked about him. He's at 33%. He's typically doing pretty bad with independents. Independents are very, very important to him because they're the ones that are going to help him make it across the finish line. They're not feeling it. and so now they're like, you know, we still want to get through the filibuster. We want to get rid of the filibuster. That's what they've been trying to do. So Sinema, she is playing the long game here. Kristen Sinema is a Democrat from Arizona, and she's basically saying, I am not going to vote to, I'm not going to vote to get rid of the filibuster, she said, and I quote, there's no need for me to restate my longstanding support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. There's no need for me to restate its role in protecting our country from wild reversals of federal policy, Sinema said, according to Fox News. This week's hairy discussions about Senate rules are but a poor substitute for what I believe could have and should have been a thoughtful public debate at any time over the past year. But what is the legislative filibuster other than a tool that requires new federal policy to be broadly supported by senators representing the broader cross-section of Americans? Demands to eliminate this threshold from whichever party holds the fleeting majority amount to a group of people separate on two sides of a canyon shouting that solution to their colleagues. She is 100% correct. She continues on, these bills help treat the symptoms of the disease, but did not fully address the disease itself. And while I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division affecting our country. She's 100% correct. And she also has her own spin here, right? Because let me think about this. The filibuster stops one party from completely just taking everything over.
Yes.
And what she's basically saying, she sees the writing on the wall, right? In 2022, Republicans are going to end up taking the House, the Senate, or both. And she's basically saying, like, listen here. Let's not get rid of it because we're gonna lose the majority pretty fast. So let's play the long game and keep the filibuster. So that way we can stop the Republicans at some point as well. So listen, that's a smart political move. If I were a Democrat, I'd probably look at the writing on the wall and do the exact same thing. But basically, Biden's agenda is in the water. Sinema sees it. She knows it. She's not going to vote to eliminate filibuster. This is pretty good news. So you have one last article to roll us out.
Yes.
Go for it.
I do. Did you hear about CNN's ratings?
Yes. I heard they dropped by like 80%. Was I right? 90?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Whew.
90%. New York Post. Wow. January 12th. Scandal-ridden CNN sees ratings dive by 90% after 2021 coverage. Now, I am curious to see what they're comparing it to, but it's actually a relatively short article. So here we go. CNN's ratings took a nosedive by a massive 90%, both overall and in the all-important demographic coveted by advertisers in the first week of the new year. The Jeff Zucker-led cable news network averaged just 548,000 viewers during the week of January 3rd, a major drop from nearly 2.7 million viewers for the same week in 2021, according to Nielsen ratings. The year-ago ratings were jolted by the left-leaning network's coverage of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, which resulted in CNN having its most watched day since Ted Turner launched the news outlet in 1980. But on the one-year anniversary of the attacks, viewers flipped over to CNN's right-wing rival, Fox News, which topped the ratings for coverage of the event. CNN has been plagued by a cascade of high-profile scandals, most notably the firing of its primetime star, Chris Cuomo, thank you, after the anchor was found to be secretly aiding the defense of his embattled older brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, also a shamed governor, over sexual harassment allegations that resulted in his resignation. CNN's longtime boss Zucker was slammed last month over the network's low ratings and dealings over scandals concerning network stars Cuomo and Don Lemon. Lemon, the host of the 10 p.m. show that followed Cuomo before he was fired, faced his own ethics scandal. The primetime anchor was criticized for covering Jussie Smollett's trial after the Empire actor testified in court that the host informed him via text message that Chicago police did not believe he was the victim of a racist and homophobic attack. Lemon is also being sued by the Hamptons bartender who claims the anchor, who is gay, rubbed his own genitals, then shoved his fingers in his face in 2018. Lemon has denied the bartender's allegations. But CNN's ratings decline followed the network's second most watched year ever, the Daily Beast reported. Despite having a record year, network viewership trended downward for the second half of 2021, according to Nielsen. CNN has struggled to grab viewers during primetime between 8 and 11 p.m., recording an 83% year-over-year drop. It had 4.2 million total primetime viewers during the first week of 2021 and only 705,000 last week.
Yep. Well, good for them. Sounds about right.
How about this last one for it? It has also lost 89% of its primetime viewers among its key demographic and 91% of viewer ages 18 to 49. That is tanking.
Yeah.
Now, that's only for like the first couple of weeks of 2022, but compared to what they've been doing and the fact that they've been on a downward trend ever, probably ever since their high for January 6th last year, they've tanked. They lost the, I don't know if they lost or they pulled out, but they are no longer the sole news network within airports. They lost that contract. They've had that contract for forever. It's always been CNN at the airports. They no longer have it.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're wondering people are going to wake up. I think they are starting to. And I don't, you know, a wise vice president, female vice president once said, it is time for us to do what we have been doing. And that time is every day. Kamala Harris once said that. And I think we should leave with her incredible, insightful, thoughtful and moving words.
We could leave with them.
But before I leave you with those words, a couple announcements. We are still doing our Federalist Papers podcast. You'll want to follow that. It's a lot of fun. We're having a good time with it. I think we've done a lot of research this week. So we'll be bringing that to the table. Website, it's going to come up. I'm this close. It's on me. I got to write one small bit and we're good to at least get us launched out. But excited for you guys to see that and have a place where everything is there. As always, if you have any ideas, if you have any thoughts or questions, please let us know. If you have any topics you want us to cover, please reach out to us at residentskeptics@gmail.com. It's residentskeptics@gmail.com. And we will probably get back to you because we're taking all ideas because I guess we just are. So I think that's about it. Yeah, I think, Connor?
Nope. Don't have anything else at this point. Just shout out to Jordan. She's been rocking it on the social media posts over the last couple of weeks. She's really trying to pump up her game. And we will probably see about sharing some more articles and videos on those platforms as well as we get things synchronized and moving along.
Yeah, for sure. Really excited. All right, guys. Take care. This is Resident Skeptics.
Signing off.